Since 1981, Unbound has connected people like you with families worldwide on their self-directed paths out of poverty. A brighter future is possible for these families when we all walk together. Sponsor a child today, and you'll help a family take the first steps on their path. Change their future in just one click. Start walking with your new friend today at unbound.org/walk.
Welcome to Becoming is Messy, where we dive deep into the journey of survival, transformation, and everything in between. I'm your host, Megan Dawson, here to share the honest, unfiltered stories behind my own process of becoming. Life isn't a pretty and perfect straight line, and neither is becoming the person we're meant to be. Here, we embrace the ups, the downs, and all the beautiful, chaotic, messy moments that shape who we are. Whether you're in the thick of change or reflecting on past transformations, this space is for real conversations about what it means to grow, stumble, and rise again. So get comfy, settle in, and let's get messy.
Hello, fellow and future messies. Today marks a big milestone for our podcast, our 25th episode, and we're celebrating it in the best way possible by going deep with somebody who knows a lot about transformation, healing, and the subconscious mind. Dr. Tara Perry is a clinical hypnotherapist, doctor of acupuncture and Chinese medicine, and trauma transformation specialist with 25 plus years of experience helping people access deep peace and power from within. Her work has helped celebrities, Olympians, first responders, doctors, and everyday people shift the root of anxiety, PTSD, addiction, insomnia, pain, you name it. She's also the host of the Next Level Healing podcast and a gifted guide in the world of subconscious reprogramming, rapid transformational therapy, and so much more. I cannot wait for you to hear what she has to share with us today. Doctor, welcome to Becoming is Messy. So happy to have you join us.
Hi, Megan. Thanks for having me here. I'm so happy to be here.
Yay, thank you. Just to kind of set the stage and ease us into our discussion today, wanted to just start off and ask, what's something in this moment that's bringing you peace or joy in your life these days?
I would say connecting to nature. I think so many of us don't connect to nature, and I just feel like it's essential. You know, sunshine, clean air, animals, trees, flowers. It's summertime right now, and I just love seeing all the plants. I have three raised beds out in my garden, deer wandering through the backyard, and geese on the lake, and there's just a lot of peace that comes with nature. I don't know. I think there's a lot of fractal intelligence out there, and when you're so surrounded by man-made stuff, you don't get that same grounding and recharge.
Oh my gosh, that's so true. The older I get, I just look back and I can't believe how much I took that for granted. Yeah. Or now, I mean, anytime I'm just going through anything or just staying grounded, getting fresh air and being in a beautiful space outside is just not only healing, but grounding and transformational in its own way. So every story has a mix of messy middles. And I'm curious, in your story, what were some of the twists and turns that have led you to this today?
Goodness. Well, I started out right after college in the entertainment industry. And after 5 years, I spent the last two at the number one talent agency in Hollywood. And I mean, we literally had lawyers and MBAs working for minimum wage in the mailroom. Harvard and Stanford. I mean,
yeah. The
situation was intense. And after 2 years and talking to my homeopath, I suddenly realized I don't want to do this for my life, even though people would give their left arm to have been in the position I was in because two of the top guys in the company wanted me to work for them, like the top guys. I felt like I couldn't breathe anymore. I really wanted to get out and help people in what seemed to me a very meaningful way, because I had watched what my homeopath was able to do with people. And I thought, you know, I really would like to do something like that. So I ended up going to acupuncture school. That was his foundation for learning how the body works and what health really is and having a model for that. And that was one of the licenses to be able to practice medicine in the state of California. So I went to China for a year and studied at one of the top five traditional Chinese medical hospitals, then came back and finished up the program, ended up being the first acupuncture teacher at the Arthur Ashe Center when UCLA made acupuncture available to their student body. So that was a huge success, and I believe is still going on to this day. Pivoting like that was scary. It was like taking a giant leap into the unknown. And sometimes when the universe just guides you to something, you go. And yeah. I think you just have to get in touch with what's really important to you and go for it.
I'm so in awe and grateful for those of you that did pave the path to bring together Eastern and Western medicine. You know, today in many ways, it feels almost mainstream. I certainly wish even more people would adopt some of the practices that we're talking about today.
Oh, nice to see the VA hospitals now.
You know,
it used to be not available, and it's such a no-brainer for dialing back the sympathetic nervous system, dialing up parasympathetic nervous system. It's great for pain. It's great for sleep. It's great for so many things.
Oh my gosh. I couldn't agree more. And the research is there to back that too. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just excited we're shining a light on that today. Now let's take a shift. I wanted to talk about subconscious. You've said that our subconscious mind is like outdated software, which I loved that analogy. Running routines based on early life experiences and hidden beliefs. What are some of the most common blocks or belief patterns that you see kind of hold people back?
I like to say we're like iPhone 16s operating on iPhone 4 technology. It's crazy what gets stuck in people's subconscious mind. It ends up dragging them down and preventing them from living the kind of life that they want. It doesn't matter so much what happens to us. It's our belief about ourselves, the world, and other people. That's the thing that really gets in our way over time. I find that these usually get stuck in the system somewhere between the ages of 2 and 10, although I have had people go back to being younger than that, being in the womb not wanted by their mother. Those are really tough things, and they're really hard to access in regular therapy because they're not part of the conscious mind. You know, so how do you solve it with the conscious mind? In my opinion, you don't. And I've had so many people say, you know, I was in therapy for 20, 30, 40 years and never got to what I got to in just a few sessions with you because we were able to do that. Beliefs like relief is available to other people, but not to me. I'm not good enough. I'm not worthy. I'm not smart enough. It's limiting beliefs that are frightening, that feel like a threat to our survival. So we get them stuck in our amygdala, which is that fear center in the brain, and the hippocampus. And our brain remembers patterns and stories that when you're an iPhone 16 years, decades later, they're not relevant, but they're still relevant. And they're still playing in the subconscious mind.
Wow. One of the things I read in learning about you was a little bit about the difference between surface level hypnosis and deep transformation, thinking about that deeper conscious things that you're not aware of, just kind of the modality at accessing those. Talk us a little bit through what that looks like and the difference between surface level hypnosis and deep transformation.
Yeah, I had been to two of the top hypnotists in Los Angeles, and they were very knowledgeable people, and they were wonderful, and they helped people a lot. But I found that they were kind of talking to the conscious mind while in a relaxed state. There are ways to talk to the subconscious mind that bypasses quite nicely the conscious mind. And I mean, if I could explain that in 15 minutes, I would. Thousands of hours to really practice this and get familiar with it. Actually, I just interviewed Dr. Richard Bandler, the founder of NLP and one of the greatest gifts on the face of the earth. And I'm going to do 9 days with him coming up.
How exciting.
And people would, you know, doctors would send him schizophrenics and all kinds of people that had done everything on the planet to not and never got relief. But by his clever ways of bypassing the conscious mind and talking to the subconscious mind and just quickly getting it to change, because it will change once it thinks it's protecting you. The mind prefers a familiar hell to an unfamiliar heaven because it thinks familiar is safe, even if familiar is awful, because we're tribal in nature. We have been for eons. And in the tribe, if you got rejected, you know, that meant being banished. It meant being, you know, sent out past the tribal territory, and that meant being eaten by wild animals, being captured by a neighboring tribe. It was not good. Our nervous systems were trained to be accepted at all costs. And again, it's that iPhone 16 operating on iPhone 4 technology. We're not living in that world anymore. It's like we can go out and we can be ourselves and we can have a voice and we can write books and we can do podcasts and not have to worry about the tribe rejecting us. Eaten by wild animals. They did this study with rats, and I hate animal studies like poison, but they subjected them to a shock in the presence of the smell of cherry blossoms. And of course, it didn't take long before just the smell of cherry blossoms would produce that fight or flight electrical shock feeling in the animal. That's not a surprise. That's just pure Pavlovian. But what was a surprise is that the next generation, when they were exposed to the cherry blossoms, their nervous system would also freak. The children's children and the children's children's children. It took three generations to bleed that away. So you can only imagine what we're carrying around from our parents and our ancestors that we're just completely not aware of. Sometimes I'm working with somebody and they'll go have a past life experience and that will be their issue. For example, I was working with a woman who used to be a lawyer and is now a gallerist in Europe. And she met me at a Joe Dispenza conference and said, hey, I can't get rid of this problem. And I have no idea what it is. I just can't ask for money for art. I didn't have any problem when I was an attorney. But as a gallerist, I can't do it. I'm not showing it for myself. I'm not showing it for my people. And so she signed up to work with me. And in two sessions, she had a past life experience and saw exactly clearly why this was the issue. And again, it doesn't matter if it's real. It's real to your mind.
That's right.
Yes, we could do forensics. And some people have done that. They've actually proved that past life things were actually past life things. But I don't involve myself with that. It's just, again, if it's real to that person, it's real to them. So we just rewired it. And now she's selling paintings for $30,000 and $40,000 and having a great time.
I'm a little obsessed with past lives. I was with my grandfather when he passed away. And that experience just got me very connected to death and wanting to learn about it. I watched this show on Netflix called Surviving Death. And one of the episodes had children with near-death experiences. I want to say it's University of Virginia that has a very strong study. And I just like to point that out. Again, research-based things we talk about this show, a lot of times things that maybe in the past people really would mock a little bit. But the research is incredible in the documented experiences. And I think for me, that's been really powerful in wanting to understand the healing of my own past lives. Just because I don't consciously remember them, I just very much believe that our spirits have been somewhere, had experiences before this lifetime, some way, you know, and so I appreciate that type of healing.
It seems to be that we've all agreed to come here to learn lessons. We're all in Earth school.
That's right. Very true.
Many lives, many masters, and...
Oh my gosh, very much so. This is a broad question, so take this where it makes sense for you. Thinking of the many high performers that you work with, Olympians, first responders, celebrities, as well as everyday different professions that are high performers, why do you think subconscious healing is often the missing piece for those people that have kind of tried everything?
You know what's interesting with high performers is that a lot of times they're so driven because of the emptiness that they feel from the gap in their childhood. Mm-hmm. They're so wanting to prove themselves. And I'd say the same was true for me, too. Always needed that next certificate, that next accolade, that next thing, because there was part of me that didn't feel whole. So it's kind of a double-edged sword. It can have good things about it, but at some point, you want to really fill that hole with wholeness.
Yes, very much.
Want to go through your entire life feeling not whole. So a lot of the after effects that I hear from people constantly is, okay, I'm sleeping better than I've ever slept in my life. Addiction issues tend to vanish because the addiction is based on not feeling whole and reaching to something else, whether it's sex, shopping, drugs, to make you feel better. If you already feel whole, then you don't need that. I've had shopping enthusiasts, we'll just call them. Oh my God, Tara, you saved me $30,000 last night. Would have been going out and buying all these great clothes and doing these da 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 da. And now I just don't need to do that anymore. You know, I'm much more careful about prioritizing for myself and my family. And so it's just saving me a fortune.
Oh, yeah. I feel like this kind of complements that. Thinking of those clients you've worked with, I love kind of the concept of moving from push and strive to effortless flow. In your words, can you just break down for somebody who's like, I don't even know where to begin. I'm so burnt out. How can somebody start moving into that effortless flow mindset? And what does that look like, do you think, for somebody that's living in that?
Well, for people that are working with me, I have them go to my website and fill out 10 answers to questions, which gives us clarity on what exactly they want to resolve, what they've done to resolve it so far, why they think it hasn't worked, why they think this is a good fit for them. And then I love to ask them, what are three feelings that you don't want to feel anymore? I have my trusty magic wand in the other room. I usually have it behind me.
So I'm
looking for the magic wand and I say, hey, what are three feelings you would give anything to not feel anymore? And the typical responses are stressed, overwhelmed, unworthy, not good enough. Sometimes it's anger. And it really doesn't matter what it is. I'll say, where is it in your body? How big is it? Is it empty? Is it electrical? Is it heavy and tight? Heavy and tight is the most common answer I get. And then I ask them what temperature it is. And they're like, oh my God, you asked me that before. Like hot like a stove. Sometimes it's like cold like an ice cube. Sometimes they don't experience a temperature with it. And then give it a color. What color do you feel like it is? And that just helps get clarity on, again, we're getting past the conscious mind into the subconscious mind, because the subconscious mind doesn't think in a linear fashion.
Yeah.
It thinks in feelings and it's much more dreamlike. So when I'm working with somebody, I talk them into that relaxed state. They get a practice audio. There's a little trick where you look up with your eyes, you take three breaths. And as you're exhaling that third time, the eyelids gently drop down. They're fluttering a little bit, which just pops you into rapid eye movement a little bit more easily. It's not the big mystical experience that you think it is. I mean, typically it's just a relaxed state. Once you've gotten out of beta and you're now into alpha or light theta, the brain access is so much easier. So I typically say it's like you're in a movie theater. You might hear things, you might see things, you might hear things, you might just have sensations in your body. There are no wrong answers. That's the thing. People are always like, well, gosh, what if I don't say the right answer? There's no wrong answers.
Of course.
Just allow what wants to come up to come up because it is the right answer.
Yes, and that sounds incredible.
And then you just connect the dots. There's going to be a pattern that becomes apparent. And then I just facilitate the client seeing that pattern. And then we do a few other processes. And there's many processes to do. I've got a very large toolbox because I've trained with some of the top people on planet Earth. And intuition comes in too. It's like, what's the right tool for this person at that time?
Yeah.
And then at the end, it will have become clear what their pathway is from being that iPhone 4 to the iPhone 16. I give them a recording that they listen to each and every day in between sessions, which is 30 days. It's about 2 hours for the session. They listen to the audio each night. They're taking a few notes in a high performance planner that I give them. And then 30 days later, things are going to have shifted a bunch. Then we evaluate and deal with the next layer. And then we do it again 30 days later. Because I find that there are layers to things and I really don't want to just put a Band-Aid on something and have them eventually go back to the old way of being. We want to definitely delete those old patterns and set in a new pattern that is. It's often said that you've got super highways to what you don't want and dirt roads to what you do want. We want to...
That's so true.
The super highways are to what you do want and the dirt roads are to what you don't want.
Yeah. What you've described, the relaxation state you're getting people into, reminds me. I saw a podcast recently on dreaming and dream entry. They described it as once you're in the dream state, everything is very abstract. And that's why you can't usually put words to what the meaning was in the dream. When you're wide awake, everything's concrete. So you have that awareness. But that dream entry period, where it's like a lot of times you're almost asleep and that creative spark comes, or like something you've been trying to solve just comes to you. It's kind of the merging of those two worlds. The ability potentially to work with somebody like you to be in a similar state to that prolonged. To me, I just see there could be so much benefit to that. And the question that it brought to me was, and working with you, do people typically remember those sessions and what comes up? Or is it typically you taking notes, kind of bringing back to them and working with?
Notes.
Yeah. I would wonder if like people, they're stuck a little bit in that abstract but aware kind of state.
The reason I take all those notes is because when we're making that pathway from where they are going to go, I'm feeding them back their language. The reason.
Yes.
The reason generic things don't generally work for people, although they can, it's because it's not your thoughts. It's not your language. It's not your journey. It's not your path. When you're working one-on-one with somebody, you're laser beaming in on what that path and that journey is for you. So when you feed it back to them in their exact language, the conscious mind isn't filtering it out anymore. It's going, oh, that's what I said. That's what I saw. I got that.
Yes, that's so cool. So now, without breaching any kind of confidentiality, just in general, I'm curious of some of the success stories or breakthroughs, folks that have gone through these types of processes, how does that translate to their day-to-day life?
Yeah, that's so as far as creatives go, I did have a Grammy nominee pop off the table and go, I just wrote my next song.
Oh, that's wonderful.
She didn't wait for me to finish the session. She was like, wait, give me the paper. I got to get this out.
Oracle
with their next painting. people tend to have much better access to who they authentically are.
Yeah.
A lot of people describe themselves as the new, whatever their name is. It's doubly confirming when older family members are noticing some changes with them. That's happened more times than I can count. On my YouTube channel playlist, there's a number of people who went through severe things. One woman was attacked by a Rottweiler, went through 6 jaw surgeries, was living in pain and fear of losing more teeth. She had developed a choking disorder every time she risked the hospital. Her husband contacted me and said, can you help her? In the first session, she knew this was different and that she was in the relief that she needed. She didn't have to do any more visits to the ER, no more surgeries, no more lost teeth. She had 3 young kids at the time, so it was really important for the family to get back on track that way. Another gal had seen her husband catch on fire. He's fine. She was a sensitive person, and it ignited mold, VCM, mast cell inflammation, Lyme's disease, all of these things. She became allergic to everything but 5 foods, and I think one was olive oil. She didn't even want to come and see me because this was strange. This was weird. Fortunately, she did. And in the first session, she was able to experience more peace than she had felt in her entire lifetime.
Wow.
After the 3 sessions, she didn't need all those doctor's visits anymore. I've had law students who had traumatic events in their past and they were not able to focus and not able to study and just became superstar focused studiers by just, you know, again, getting to the root of it, finding out what the protective mechanism is that wasn't serving them anymore and upgrading it and plugging that in. All kinds of things. Many, many cases of headaches and migraines. Panic attacks is a big one. I've had people with daily panic attacks and had been through decades of therapy and were like, great, I don't have my panic attacks anymore. I had one fellow who had 100 on his PTSD scores in the military, and that was the highest, and went through the military stuff and was still having his panic attacks. And after 2 sessions, he said, it can't be this easy because, you know, all those symptoms are gone.
Yeah, I started acupuncture now probably 10 years ago, I think is when I first started believing in it and wanting to try it for myself and seeing what benefits it could bring into my life. And I feel like for a while, I really got the mental benefit from it. I feel like the physical side, you know, what you've shared here, but then also some of the blog posts on your site, chronic pain, allergy symptoms, insomnia. Why do you think that kind of addressing the subconscious, what is that connection to some of those physical type things and how do they connect together to be partners in healing?
It's actually so simple. Okay. We don't heal when we're stuck in a sympathetic nervous system response. Mm. When we're in fight or flight, when we want to fight, flight, freeze, fawning is my people pleasers.
Sure.
And you know, just in a very short time, I've had so many people pleasers. They just get excellent boundaries. They don't become selfish people. They just have healthy boundaries. So, you know, being a people pleaser, you're really not helping anybody if you're depleting yourself to the point where, you know, you become sick, tired, not up for life. So by, again, just Googling the subconscious mind, finding out what is stressed out in there and why. And it's like the fire alarm going off in your house all the time. If that were happening, you're exhausted, you can't sleep, you can't think, you get cranky, and it's not giving you any information because, you know, it's not working. I feel that fire alarm back, so it's basically off. That's how it should be. If there is a real emergency, it can still let you know, but basically it's off. Then all of a sudden, your immune system is functioning more optimally. Your immune system, your digestive system, your hormonal system, all of those start firing and wiring the way they're supposed to. I had a guy that had broken his spine 40 years ago in a motorcycle accident, and he was all excited when he found out I was an acupuncturist. I said, you know what? You've done acupuncture and chiropractic. Why don't we just command central, your subconscious mind, find out what's getting in the way of your healing? Because if you break your femur, which is the thickest bone in your body, that should be healed better than ever in 8 weeks if there's nothing in the way. He said, great. He was an advanced meditator in the Dr. Joe community, signed me up, and in 2 sessions, he didn't have the pain anymore. So that is on my YouTube playlist. A lot of these stories are just telling what they went through and how quickly the healing was. I've had people that were addicted to sugar for their entire lifetime, you know, in their 60s. And in one session, they're like, you know, okay, I don't need this anymore. I've replaced that need for the sugar with freedom, which is a really nice feeling.
Yes. Yeah. So you're mentioning specific stories on your channel?
Oh, yeah. You talk There was a gal that hadn't slept well for 7 years. She only slept 3 to 4 hours a night. She was about to lose her mind. She went through regular sleep therapy. It didn't do anything for her. She says, I don't know how you did it. You didn't even mention sleep in the process. I didn't have to. I just removed the emotions that were preventing her from sleeping in the first place.
Wow. We'll certainly share your links too when we post this. So I just think the power of storytelling and demonstrating these practices helps more and more people believe in them and just give them a try.
Yeah. She was able to experience bliss for the first time in her lifetime.
Oh, how wonderful.
When you take the backpack off your back that you don't even realize you're carrying around and dump it, people typically say they feel freer, lighter, more at peace, more calm. So there's a lot of the after effects that people get.
I think to me, those words that you just described are some of the phrases I think of back to your effortless flow. I think that for those of us that have done these practices and done this type of work, and people that haven't see the hardships that we go through and don't believe almost that we could describe our life that way because we have such hardship. But on the other hand, we've just learned to roll with the flow of life. And we have the tools to navigate the ups and downs because there's going to always be both.
I say it's not like life doesn't happen anymore. It's just that you're more resilient. Some people have come for a problem. I'm like, look, I can't fix the outside world, but I can change your response to it.
That's right.
The problem doesn't go away, but they just don't care anymore.
Right. Very true. I think even my personal experience, I never realized I have a lot of medical trauma and I've lived with a lifetime of a painful body. And I never realized until I did that, and I've done a lot of the inner work and somatic experiencing and acupuncture, where I started to realize the connection of my day-to-day stress in my pain flare-ups. As I've started to be able to learn how to navigate that and stay in that blissful state, stay more of a calm presence and feel my feelings and all of that, truly my pain is so much less, you know? And I don't know if I would have believed that if I didn't feel it.
Yeah, there's a lot of evidence that chronic pain has a lot to do with stress.
You've helped people heal faster and deeper than they may have thought possible. What do you think the world would look like if more people were doing this kind of deep inner work at scale?
Wow. What question. I'd like to live in that world.
I know.
There's a higher degree of self-awareness and personal responsibility, too. If we live in a victim culture where we're constantly pointing the finger outside and saying that thing outside needs to change in order for me to feel better, I think that, and that's not to say we shouldn't play a role in making the world a better place. But if you're pointing the finger at something else, you've got 3 fingers pointed back at you.
So true.
I've had to call myself out on this. If I get annoyed at somebody or something, it's like I pause and I think, okay, what is there for me to learn about this? What is there for me to get out? If I'm calling somebody else a nasty adjective, how am I displaying that same nasty adjective?
That's right.
I just had a woman, she and her husband both got referred to me by their doctor, unbeknownst to the other one.
Oh, I love that.
Come to light quickly because I was like, oh, how do I navigate that? And after I had finished with both of them, the wife said to me, this is like a miracle. Couples therapy made us worse. And all we had to do was go in and just fix our own blockages. And all of a sudden, our relationship and our home life became dramatically better. And she said, I never want to not do this. It's like if you go from, you know, point A to point B in 9 days, you're like, okay, well, now I'm at point B. What does point C look like? So I didn't pull that off and do repeat the process just because they've got another set of challenges that is in their lives. And there's always opportunities to improve. And when you're talking about that amazing subconscious mind that is huge, your conscious mind is only processing about 30 bits of information per second. That's like listening to 3 people have a conversation. Your subconscious mind is processing 40 million bits of information per second.
So true.
And that's why affirmations don't work, because the conscious mind just goes, nope, delete, 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 as long as it's not congruent with what is going on in the subconscious mind.
Yeah, I so relate to that couple because, you know, there's lots of modalities that I've tried that I go back to from time to time, you know, so I do talk therapy more on a need basis at this point. There's certainly been periods in my life where I did that very deeply and regularly, and I go back to it as I feel like I need it. But once I discover some of these body work type practices that for me calm my nervous system and kind of add to some of those blissful flow of life feelings, I think I'll do forever. And I do them very regularly because they just complement that kind of state that I know makes me better for myself, but also better for my husband, my family, the world, you know? So I just feel like what you're talking about today is so important, and I can see why people make it a regular routine part of their practice.
Yeah, we got to find those things that just lift us up. And I like to say we stand on the shoulders of giants.
Yeah.
There's a lot of terrific practices out there, and you only have to get 1% better each and every day. And you're not 5% by the end of the year. You're 37 times better by the end of the compounds on itself.
The next few questions, they're a segment I just call rapid reel. Ones you don't overthink and just say whatever comes to your mind. So we have a few of those. The first one is, finish this sentence. Healing is.
My first word is beautiful.
You gave me goosebumps. I couldn't agree more.
I'm a geek about all this stuff. People just rapidly get what they want in the world. And I think we've got great tools for it.
I think so, too. I feel like healing and curiosity are just like a forever. If you just keep doing those two, if you just kind of follow that and keep trying to heal yourself, I don't think you can go wrong.
So Pierre's husband has a great quote. Curiosity beats intelligence every day of the week.
Oh, my gosh. Totally. Healing is beautiful. I agree. The next one, something that you believe for way too long that you no longer believe in.
I'm not enough.
Oh, yeah. That's a strong one. That's a common one.
That gets me so much.
Yeah. Yes. That is so true. That is, I feel, kind of back to the blissful feeling and going with the flow of life. To me, once you really do the work to get rid of that disbelief, I feel like things just flow so much easier.
Mark Twain said, comparison is the robber of joy and the source of suffering.
So true. My favorite thing about being human is?
First thing that comes to mind is the human experience. People talk about wanting to be in nirvana and blissed out and nowhere, no place and no time, being one with the quantum. And I love Bruce Lipton's response to that. And he's like, well, if you don't have a human body, then what, you can't taste chocolate. Can't smell a baby's head. You don't get to have the human experience, which is fragile in a lot of ways, but it's also quite beautiful.
Oh, that's so true. When I'm overwhelmed,
my first response is stress out. I was always good at doing lots of things, but the feeling of being overwhelmed was something that I definitely had to take steps to manage, you know, meditation. And I love cold therapy. I like to take a cold shower.
Yes.
Grounding in nature, not taking yourself too seriously.
Yeah, that's so good. So even now, you know, that you've done all this work and you have modalities that you are, you know, practice and expertise in, you know, when you do have those ones still where you're overwhelmed and you do have that stress bubbling up, you know, what is kind of one of the first things you do? Kind of take a cold shower? One of the first?
Well, just to be aware of it.
Yeah.
I can't really do what I do on myself, which is kind of a drag because...
Yeah. You're worried?
In your subconscious, you know, but it's by definition below the level of your conscious. And it's rather difficult to navigate that on your own. I would love to do it on myself. I can do acupuncture on myself. And I do that because, in fact, lately I've kind of gotten into it again because it is so just in the moment relaxing. Breath work I've done a lot of for relaxation. Just catching yourself also in the pattern of stress that you tend to drop into is important. I take regular walks out in nature. I just try not to get too obsessed with my stuff, you know, because I do have a lot going on with the clients and podcasting and traveling to this event and that event. So it's really important to just enjoy the ride because we're not going to be here all that long.
Yeah, it's so true. That's one of the reminders I have a lot. Yeah, I agree with you.
We're talking about past life stuff and, you know, near-death experiences. You know, how do you want to be at that last day of your life? You know, when you look back, do you really want to go, gosh, I didn't stress out enough?
Right.
And people want to say, you know, I really cherished the time with everybody and honored everybody and played and laughed and did my best. You know, I really want to feel good at that last day of my life.
That's beautiful. Before we get to the final question, how can our listeners connect with you? Where would you like them to follow you, find you? How do they connect with you and your work?
Next Level Healing is available on all platforms, my podcast. And then you could go to consulttara.com or nashvillehealer.com. It goes to the same place. And they can browse through my website. I have a reading list on there, which I desperately need to update. I'm a voracious reader, and I love making those resources available to other people because it's such a quick, easy way. You download a book on Audible, and you can go to the gym, you can listen to it in the car, and just get massive amounts of great information from amazing, amazing people. So some of my favorites are on there. You can also click the button that says Let's Talk. You can answer 10 questions about getting clear on what the issue is you want to change, and then set up a time to talk with me for about 30 minutes, and we can see if you're a good fit for this work.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, we will share all of those resources on the link for this. Just talking about books, I can't not ask you, at least to name one. What's one that comes to mind, either that you're listening that's a new one or that was like a game changer for you that really stands out?
One of my favorite transformation people is Byron Katie. She's getting up there now, so I don't know if she's doing podcasts or anything like that anymore. I just adore her. She wrote Loving What Is. I've read all of her books. I've read Loving What Is probably 7 or 8 times. You get to listen to her work with people. I love to say that a change in perspective is worth 80 IQ points. She's very good at helping people change their perspective really quickly. It's rather challenging to do if you don't have assistance, because once we get out of whack, we get very committed to our stories of the way we think things are. And the reason what I do is so powerful is I can drop people into that beautiful subconscious state and they can start to see, oh gosh, I didn't see that before. Oh my goodness, I can't tell you how many people said, I've never seen it from that perspective before.
I always say you can't unsee once you see it. You know, I mean, it's just
and
so powerful.
People say, well, how often do I have to come in for maintenance? There really isn't any maintenance, because once you've gotten out of prison, you don't go back.
Yes. It's so true. You know, so thank you for sharing that book. Appreciated the quotes that you've shared along the way, too. You know, they were all, I'm excited to just go back and re-listen when we prepare this to post and just go back and check out some of those quotes. I'm a big fan of just passing on other powerful words. So thank you for sharing those. And we have one final question, but before I get to it, I just wanted to thank you for joining us today. I so enjoyed our conversation and just am excited to follow your work and connect others to you.
Me too. Megan, it's been great to be with you here on Becoming is Messy. I love the title of your podcast.
Thank you.
Sometimes we do have to, you know, create a mess before we clean things.
That's right. Well, we'll stay within the theme of Becoming is Messy and just close with this question, which is that, you know, some of our listeners right now may be in their own messy middle, their own rock bottom, you know, and when you found yourself in moments that felt like that, what's a piece of advice that you wish would have come sooner?
I just finished working with somebody who said it so beautifully. He said, oh, now that I look back on all the challenges, all the stress, all the struggles, it really was a straight line. It didn't feel like it.
Yeah.
It felt like a roller coaster at the time. So if you can dial into the concept that life is working for you, not against you, Einstein said the most important decision you can make is the universe a friendly one or not?
Mm-hmm.
And when you see things from that perspective, we literally change the way the world is. I just listened to this wonderful Carl Jung thing on YouTube, and I shared it with my entire mastermind group. But it's so beautifully stated that when we see things from different lenses, if you can look at things through the lens of what's here for me to learn, you know, what's allowing me to become stronger, more balanced, more wise, then you can move through it in a different way. And more becomes available to you when you can get out of that little amygdala, hippocampus, danger, danger, I've got to run, I've got to fight, I've got to flee, I've got to fawn, and step into the middle prefrontal cortex, higher executive function, then all of a sudden things start to become available to you.
Yes, what a beautiful concept to end on. I very much believe that what you've just summarized is, to me, really the secret of life. I think we're all vessels here for our own individual journey, and we're here to learn, and to be able to approach life in that way really does make it pretty magical. So thank you for being here. And thank you to our listeners. If today's episode sparked something for you, please share it with somebody who needs it. Healing might start alone, but it definitely deepens with connection. See you all next time. Stay messy, stay magical, and keep becoming. Before we wrap today, I want to invite you to be part of the Becoming is Messy community. Subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss a single episode,
And if there's anything that resonates with you, please leave a review. Your feedback means the world to me, and it helps other people find this community. Follow me on social media. I'd love to hear your ideas for future topics, your questions, and stories from your own messy moments. And if you're feeling inspired, check out the Becoming is Messy shop, where you can grab a mug, a t-shirt, or something else that reminds you to embrace your messy magic every single day. A huge thank you to the incredible Wolves and Sheep for providing the music for Becoming is Messy. Check them out on your favorite music streaming platform. As we close out today's episode, remember this. Messy is just another word for growing. So keep showing up, keep laughing, and keep making beautifully awkward progress. Until next time, stay messy, my friends.